Accessing library computer data.
And to make sure history never forgets the name Enterprise.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Penske Podcast. If you haven't tuned in before, this is a podcast where we are running through all 178 episodes of Star Trek The Next Generation, giving our thoughts and feelings about each and every one. Right now we're up to episode 19 of season 5. It's called The First Duty. It was directed by Paul Lynch, written by Ronald D. Moore and Naren Shankar, and it aired back on March 30th, 1992. In this episode, while visiting Starfleet cadet Wesley Crusher at Starfleet Academy, the crew of the USS Enterprise learned of an accident that claimed the life of a cadet. It's an interesting episode. It's the penultimate Wesley Crusher episode. And it's interesting in how it deals with that character. So Christian is here to talk about this one from our the Reddit Star Trek viewing party, which you can go see over on Reddit, r/r/ Star Trek viewing party. And there'll be a link in the description below. And we are going to talk about the First Duty right after this.
Five ships crossing within 10 meters of each other and igniting their plasma trails. One of the most spectacular and difficult demonstrations in precision flying. And it hasn't been performed at the Academy for over 100 years. Do you know why?
It was banned by the Academy following a training accident, sir.
An accident in which all five cadets lost their lives. I think that Nicholas Locarno wanted to end his Academy career in a blaze of glory, and that he convinced the four of you to learn the Colvord Starburst for the commencement demonstration. If it worked, it would thrill the assembled guests, and Locarno would graduate as a living legend. Well, it didn't work. And Joshua Albert paid the price. Am I correct? Cadet, I asked you a question. Am I correct?
I choose not to answer, sir.
You choose not to answer?
Starfleet Academy. Is it everything that your hopes and dreams thought it would be? This is the first time we've ever seen Starfleet. Or the Academy, anyway.
Yeah. It was...
beautiful grounds.
I wasn't sure if you were doing a monologue or if you were asking me a question. It's... It's a really great picture, I think.
Yeah, it's a beautiful like oil matte painting or whatever,
yes.
With the Bay Bridge in the back.
I have serious questions about Boothby's ability to maintain that.
Yeah, you think
garden
that
masterpiece.
You think that it would have a little bit more automation. Although I don't know if he is big into that or if he's one of these like Luddites from the 24th century.
You literally stole the words right out of my mouth. He is absolutely a perfect companion for Picard's brother.
Yeah, that's true. I think...
He even dresses like him.
Right.
In like kind of loose, rough, homespun looking clothing.
Yeah, very, very billowy. Very billowy clothing. A lot of like extra material involved. Yeah, that's true. I guess everyone who isn't in Starfleet would kind of be homebody types like that, like anti-tech types, or at least that's what the show has us believe at this point.
There's definitely, well, the problem is that Star Trek only really shows two kinds of people, either people in Starfleet who love technology or the people in Starfleet who hate technology, but I feel like should honestly be a very large portion of the population, because I don't think we've completely wiped out laziness.
Right, yeah.
That there's a large population who doesn't want to serve in Starfleet, but also doesn't want to live like a Oregon Trail settler.
Yeah.
So they have all the technology and none of the work. So I think it's kind of like, I just wonder if that section of the population looks like the humans from WALL-E.
Right, yeah.
But then again, apparently all food they made in the future is super nutritious, so...
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they're not wasting effort or anything. The wine that they grow or ferment is very tasty, I'm told, and everything. But yeah, we're going to be talking about The First Duty, which is the Wesley Crusher episode where Wesley gets in trouble. It's the first time we've seen him since the game, which was earlier in the season. He's now back at Starfleet with, I guess he's involved in piloting, which isn't anything I ever thought that he'd be interested in.
Well,
go ahead.
I mean, he's a young guy, and being a hotshot pilot kind of makes sense, and he was the helmsman of the ship, although I guess I would say that piloting a 10,000-ton starship is a little bit different from piloting a fighter, but
yeah, it seems to operate.
His main job was, besides engineering, was piloting. So
it's true. He's never. It always seems like he just fell into that job. As opposed, it never really connects to me that he'd be involved in this kind of, because he's always seems to be more interested in the sort of
the engineering side of things.
Yeah, engineering sciencey aspect. I mean, I understand this is supposed to be college, and this is what he's going to do. Mm-hmm. So I'm fine with that. It's just it does seem. It always strikes me as a little bit odd that that's what he chooses to do. Although the episode goes out of its way to say that this team is like highly regarded on the campus of Starfleet Academy. It would kind of be like the Duke basketball team or something like that.
Basically.
At Duke.
I mean, the promotional ladder in Starfleet is kind of weird because really, I feel like it ought to be by rank, not by position, but they always play it up as by position. So you advance from the con, the helmsman position, to operations, to tactical, or either from the con to operations or tactical, kind of depending upon how they want it,
yep.
Then to the first officer, and then to captain.
Yep.
But I don't think it always makes sense, because after Data dies, quote unquote, in The Most Toys, Worf is put in operations.
All right.
But does Worf really fit in there? I feel like his best use should be in tactical. Why does he have to go through this way? And if you are a junior officer, do you always have to start out at the con?
Yeah,
why can't
right.
you just go be a junior department head in engineering? And I think the real answer is we barely see Geordi enough. We have to put Wesley in a non-critical front row of a visible position where we can actually see him.
Yeah,
so he gets to be the con.
There's only a couple roles, and you have the same senior staff just sort of rotating between the roles depending on what
basically.
They'd actually do, even if it doesn't make a lot of sense. Whether it's Diana or Deanna flying the ship in Generations or anything like that. It's interesting. I mean, the thing about what's your sort of general take on First Duty as an episode as it stands?
I think First Duty, I mean, it's a pretty good episode. I mean, it's well regarded as an episode. I think that it breaks a little bit of the TNG mold in that Starfleet people made mistakes and they're involved in a cover up and it resulted in someone dying. And looking at the notes, sure enough, I mean, Rick Berman didn't want to do the episode. Because, this is Star Trek. It's about exploring. It's not about going back to Earth.
Yep.
But I think that's such a narrow vision of what Star Trek should be. And, of course, Ronald Moore is one of the guys who wrote it. And he said, yeah, but this is a really good story. Let's explore that. And I like that about it. I want to see this more of this kind of character conflict, especially as I've been watching... this is season 5, right? Yeah, season 5 with you guys. Yes, it's very character-centric, but I think you're limiting yourself so much by making it character-centric but with no character conflicts.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you're going to do this, put in some conflict. And especially for goody-two-shoes like Wesley, this is, I think, great character development for him, and I think it's arguably probably the best performance we'll ever get out of Will Wheaton.
Yeah, I do think he's... He's certainly solid. I think it's a good episode for Wesley, just because, you know, it does sort of undo everything that's been problematic or criticized about him in the past, where he's been sort of a wunderkind who just has everything, you know, saves the ship all the time,
ball super genius, lap, yeah.
everything falls in his lap. He handles everything well. This one flips it around, and this is his penultimate appearance on the show. Basically,
he's only have ended it here.
I was thinking that it actually this is not a bad. If this was the last you ever saw of him, it's not that bad of an episode.
Unfortunately, it's a poor ending episode, because obviously we would want to see what happens to Wesley after this.
Oh, see, I don't have any need to see what happened to him.
Really?
Yeah, I think what they eventually,
I suppose so.
I think what they eventually do with him is actually less good than...
Oh, absolutely. I'm just saying, First Duty is an excellent episode, and if you're going to end on a high point, might as well end here. I just don't know if it's a great... I don't know how great it would be in the role of a final episode, in the sense that it leaves a lot of questions, like, all right, well, what's going to happen to him? Is he going to get beat up every day?
Right, yeah, yeah.
In the academy, how is he... Is this going to, dramatically alter his career options?
Yep.
All right, his final episode is much worse, regardless of what you think about that.
Yeah, it doesn't...
Yeah, they should have still ended it here.
It doesn't... what he eventually does is not... sort of what I would consider to be in the arc of the character. I guess they kind of set it up here, but...
What do you mean?
I don't...
Oh, no, you're talking about his actual final appearance, not
yeah,
in this episode.
Whatever that episode is called.
No, it doesn't. I mean, we can get to that.
Yeah, at some point.
At that episode.
The Wesley Crusher here, I think, is fairly satisfying, a turn of events for the way things go. And I think that, he basically... This episode basically has one really great scene to me, which is the Picard and Wesley confrontation
yes.
in the ready room.
Yes.
Outside of that, I feel that this episode maybe came out of the oven a little bit too early or something. I'm not really enthralled by it. And I don't know if... I think it's got all the components that I would be looking for. Sort of a conflict, like Wesley has to lie, whether he has to choose whether to go with his friends or go with Starfleet. All that stuff. Everything kind of works here. I just don't... I think the court scenes don't really do it for me. They're not dramatic enough. I feel like they're a little bit stilted and a little bit
dull.
This
is no A Few Good Men, to be sure.
Right. I was actually thinking that. It's like, wow, A Few Good Men is actually, you need people yelling at each other or something in the courtroom, and this...
Well, that's... Sorry, go ahead. I'll let you finish.
It's just, this does not really have that. All the court scenes here are extremely dry. Just sort of like
yes.
evidence upon evidence. And the prosecution, or whatever you want to call them, the judges, are basically kind of leading all the witnesses into lies, which seems kind of obvious to me. But what were you
going
to say?
I think that, again, the one failing of the episode is that TNG suffers from being so reserved. Nobody runs. People yell rarely. People, they can't bring out a lot of the emotion, which is what makes really great episodes like Sarek or anything where you see a lot of emotion come from characters that much better, because it stands out so much.
Yep.
I mean, I would like to see... I mean, I think that the actor for Commander Albert did a pretty good... did a good job. There's nothing bad about it, but I think it could have been better. I think when Wesley is being dressed down by Picard, I think that could have been better. I want there to see more conflict. Picard is virtually his... The characters said it, even if it's not super believable, but the characters said that he's almost like a surrogate father to him.
Yep.
And at least he's a huge role model, and to have your role model cursing you out, not really, but
dressing
you
down,
out,
yeah, yeah.
Giving you the seventh degree about this, I feel like there should be more reaction in Wheaton's face. I don't know if that's a lacking in his acting or a lack of directing, or writing, or just the environment. The environment of Star Trek can feel very dull and dry and sterile. And I think this is one of the places where it could have benefited from more color and more motion, like DS9.
Yeah, I think I'd agree with that. It's I think that the conflict itself, like the Wesley Crusher conflict, makes sense to me, but it doesn't feel like there's enough meat on the bone or something like that. I think I was reading that they wanted the idea was that the cover up would be more sinister than
yes.
what actually happened, which I think makes sense.
Well, it, I mean, there's two sides. I mean, you can only make it so bad. I mean, it's at a certain point it becomes uncharacteristic for Wesley. I've heard some comments. I read some comments about people complaining that it seemed very out of character for Wesley. Well, yes, if you assume that everyone is always going to be a goody two-shoes in Starfleet, but the fact is, humans are still human.
Well, he's still a goody two-shoes in this episode, basically. Like he.
Well, I mean, he's the least goody two-shoes that he's ever been in. It took a lot for him to finally get to that point, but I think it's at some point there is a cap on how bad it can get. But I agree that it would not have been interesting to see make the cover-up more overt, have him actually participate in the cover-up more than just omitting the truth.
Yeah, the darkest angle, which I think is almost a weird angle that it goes, is when they sort of spin it to make it sound like the kid who died was the reason that it happened.
That is pretty dark when you think about it, especially when the kid's dad is in the room and you say, yeah, he nearly got us all killed and he got himself killed. And then the dad comes to Wesley and apologizes for his dead son.
That was the weirdest part. I didn't really buy that. I mean, it was like, I understand what they were trying to do is to try to make it seem like that was going to be the impetus that causes Wesley to feel sort of moral guilt about it.
Yeah,
but
I can see that.
The kid's father is so like apologetic for his son who didn't do anything, and it's only based on very flimsy testimony from these kids. I felt like the father just gave up on his son so easily in that one.
I think it would have made more sense if he knew Crusher before all this. Like Crusher and Josh were always hanging out at Josh's house, so Albert knew Wesley. So if Wesley, it carries more weight, or like it's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this almost happened. I don't know. I think it might have put a different spin on it. I don't know if it would be better.
I think you could add nuance to it by they had dropped a few hints that this kid was the most delinquent of the cadets. You know, and like,
but instead he's just bad at math.
Right. Instead he's just bad at math, which is all it cares. But I mean, if they had played it up as he was the more troublesome kid, it still wouldn't be his fault that the thing happened. But if he had had some kind of issues that were brought up that.
Yeah, like he's the shoddiest pilot.
Right. So he's the most unstable of them or something like that.
But then, I mean, the other problem is, yeah, my son was never good at flying and I knew he'd get himself killed.
Right, yeah.
Thanks, Dad. Thanks for believing in me.
Yeah, that Commander Albert or whatever his name is had zero faith. I thought that was just the weirdest turn. It made sense in how they wanted the story to go. It just didn't land for me.
Yeah. I think there's ways to play it better, but I don't know how much better you can make it.
One thing
I was thinking is that guy is going to be raging mad at all of those cadets. I mean, even after, like, yeah, we're sorry, it's not really Josh's fault. I mean, that that's a pretty weak apology. You still blamed his son in front of everyone. You got him killed, and you covered up and tried to blame him.
Yeah.
If I was him, I'd be like, oh my, I'm going to own this academy. I'm going to sue everyone.
It would have been anticipate a little bit of emotion from him as he stands up and yells at him and gets dragged out of court or something. That does not happen.
Yeah.
Just because that's not TNG's tone, as we're talking about. But, I don't know. I feel like this episode has everything I'd want out of it. But for some reason, it's sort of just stilted. I mean, it's got a few good scenes. I understand, like, why they added the Boothby scenes. But I don't feel that they work, even though they 100% make sense in context of the episode.
Yeah. I thought he was good. I felt he was a good actor. Again, I think he's going to kill himself tending to the grounds there
to the acres, all by himself.
I feel like he's a good... He's a little bit, I don't know if the term is, on the nose about a lot of things. I mean, there's nothing super nuanced about him, but I think there's enough there, and I think that his little discussion with Picard, I like any time that they don't spell things out for you.
Yeah,
and I feel like the mysterious thing with him and Picard in the past, I liked that aspect of it, if nothing else.
Yeah, so I like the fact that they don't get specific about what he did, but once you've seen it, the scene where they're sort of walking together at the start is such a sledgehammery foreshadowing of what's going to happen.
Yes, it is very much...
You are repeating exactly what happened to you, Picard, so how about you handle it? like I did, which I felt was just a little bit unnecessary. And it's not that it doesn't make sense. It just, I think, mm-hmm. like you're saying, it was just, it's a little bit unsubtle. Like the audience isn't going to get what's going on with them.
Yeah.
And I don't really, didn't really care for that. The outside of that, I think that the Locardo or the
Locardo.
Yeah, Locarno, whoever, Tom Paris' doppelganger.
Yes.
he's well cast. I think that was good.
He did a very good job. He is absolutely more convincing, I think, than Wesley almost ever is.
Yeah, do you think that the character was written correctly?
In what way? Like,
I feel that the character is a little bit all over the place because his motivations don't seem particularly devious enough. And then at the end, he sort of accepts all the blame in a way that I don't know makes sense for what the character is supposed to be. I think I would have written him to be a little bit more of a sort of like energetic attention getter, like the kind of person you could see really going out and trying to do this drastic maneuver and, you know, being more obsessed with his legacy and things like that. He's really
also
just
allowing more of his charisma to shine through, because I think McNeil is a pretty charismatic actor, and I think that his characterization as ex-Locarno, now Paris, on Voyager was pretty good, and I can believe that he's that kind of guy. But I think that what they're talking about here is peer pressure, and anytime there's a clique or any elitist group where the leader is there and it's mostly about him rather than the group, and he's using the group to reinforce himself, those groups need a very strong, I mean, this is basically Star Trek Mean Girls. But they need, I think you need a very strong cult of personality, and I think that Locarno might not have enough of that.
Yeah.
Again, I don't, like I said, I like the episode. I don't think it's a huge problem with it, but I think it absolutely could be better.
It's
he's definitely
one of those,
a slime ball.
I think the character should have been written more slimy, I guess, would be my, like, I would have.
There should have been more range. If you're going to make him more slimy, if you make him all slimy, then you wonder, well, why is anyone going to follow him?
Right, yeah.
It can't just be because he's a good pilot, because that's not going to be enough to cut it. He has to be simultaneously a very type A, this is what we do, and he's usually right.
Right.
Like, hey, this is what we do. We can totally do this. He makes everyone around him, he pushes everyone around him to be better because he wants it to reflect well on himself.
Yep.
Because if the group's good, well, I made the group, so therefore I get all the credit for this. But then you want to also see how far he's willing to go in order to keep that up. So you can't make him all slimy. You have to balance that out. So, hey, look at this awesome guy. Oh my gosh, he also has the dark side. It might seem kind of stereotype, but it's true. People in these cliques don't become, they have to have some, they have to be good at something. Even if they're an awful person, they've got to be really good at something.
Right.
I mean, maybe he's the best pilot that's ever come to the academy, but you have to state that out. They're not following him just because he's a generic cadet.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And it's an issue of time, as it so often is with these standalone episodes, where they can't get this kind of nuance out of things, even though I would have liked it if it was there.
I think that in a modern show, they would have brought in Locarno and Wesley, like mentioning him a couple times in previous episodes, like, oh, hey, Wesley got into Nova Squad. He's with Locarno. Oh, Locarno, I heard about him. He's the best pilot they've said come out of the academy in 20 years.
He did the Kessel Run in 12 parts.
Yes.
Like, yeah, it's I think I agree with that. It's just kind of a bland presentation, I think, which is the blandness of the episode is, and I'm probably sounding harsher on it than I actually feel about the episode, but I do feel that it's just not hitting the points correctly. The two scenes that I think really, really work are the Picard Wesley scene in the ready room.
Yes. That's
and
because
I also,
Patrick Stewart owns every scene he's in.
Yeah. That was also, it was really well directed. And it was Stewart. I absolutely crushed it. Just like when Wesley says, He doesn't want to answer the question or something, and then Picard looks like he's about to punch him when he gets up from the desk. And I also like the ending. For some reason, the
actually,
punish-
I had a problem with the ending.
Really?
Go ahead.
Well, the punishment I think that Wesley gets at the end, it like feels emotionally correct to me. Like it, I don't know why, but I somehow relate to the punishment more than I do to his sort of decision that he's had to come to.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really buy into the... I understand it more than I feel an emotional connection to the problem that he's presented with in this episode. Mm-hmm. But the solution of the other kid gets expelled, Wesley and the others lose an academic year, basically, and have to stay back and redo the year. And just sort of the goodbye to Picard was like the right level of personality between the two of them. And I like that just the final shot of shaking hands and walking in different directions. I think it wraps it up really nicely. And I think that's why I would have been happy if this was Wesley's final appearance.
That's a good point. My problem was ultimately, I suppose in some ways, I mean, you can only be so mad at Wesley because he didn't overtly do anything to cover it up. He just, everything he said was the truth. He just didn't say the whole truth.
Yeah.
But I still think ultimately, I mean, he says, I feel awful. Well, yeah, you guys let a kid get your friend die.
Yeah.
And then you lied about it and you were complicit in Liccardo's blaming of Joshua because you were silent.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, like, if you didn't condone it, but isn't silence tacit approval of what he's doing? I mean, you said it to your friends, but you didn't say it to anyone else. You let your friend's dad feel like his son nearly got himself and a bunch of his friends died. Yeah, you should feel awful. Yeah.
Yeah.
You should really feel awful. And in some ways, I mean, Commander Albert's going to hate him because his son got killed and they blamed him.
Yeah,
the team's
yeah.
going to hate him because they ratted on him, because he ratted on them.
Yep.
And the other cadets are going to hate him because he was complicit in this group that got one of their own cadets killed and then lied about it. I mean, everyone's going to hate him. If anyone's going to get shoved into a locker now, it's Wesley. And I think that ultimately his punishment in some ways... I mean, like, yeah, he has to repeat a year. School's hard. But as we all know, Wesley's a genius.
Yeah.
And Starfleet Academy looks like the cushiest military academy on the planet.
Yeah.
I feel like there should have been either he should have felt worse. There should have been some more punishment. I felt like it came off a little. I suppose when I say I didn't like the ending, I mean, I feel like it came off a little light on him.
Yep.
And also light on Liccardo. Absolutely, I think he did the right thing, and I think the problem is that we don't get to see that turn. We don't get to see the turn in Liccardo when he realizes, oh God, I really have made a mistake. Because he doesn't he's forced into seeing this. He doesn't make the choice himself. There's no revelation for him. Wesley's the one who has to turn around and
come
say
to
it.
Terms, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Now,
go ahead.
Did you read? I read on Memory Alpha. Did you read the original way that Moore wanted the story to end?
Yeah, it was. Remind me. I'm
basically
sort of blanking on it.
The cover up was more overt. The crime was worse. And in the original story, it was more about the team agreeing, including Wesley, to stay silent because it was more like explicitly Liccardo's fault.
Yep.
And so they agreed, they were going to get kicked out of the academy, but they agreed, we're not going to be cowards and blame Liccardo for this. We were all complicit, so we'll all let ourselves get kicked out.
Yep.
And it's Liccardo who, at the end, is the one to come out and say, no, I did this. Blame me. They're trying to cover for me. It's all my fault.
Yeah.
And so he's the one who turns, and Picard's speech to Wesley is more about, don't throw away your career for protecting a friend. I think that makes Picard's speech less powerful, possibly, because it's not as idealized as telling the truth. But I think that the rest might have been a more interesting take on it. What do you think?
It's certainly that storyline feels almost like it doesn't really fit the character of Picard very well.
Mm-hmm. That's what I would agree.
Like, I don't. If it wasn't Picard, but it has to be Picard. Like, I can't see Picard as being like, you should just do this cover up to keep your role in Starfleet continuing. which is too bad. I think it's a more, I think that's a more interesting decision for Wesley than the mm-hmm. decision that they went with, but I don't know how well it fits into the other characters.
Yeah.
You could do it if the show was not so dependent on including its regular cast members, but they have to be a part of the show. At least at this point. Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I would have liked that, I think. I mean, I don't really have a problem with how it all goes down. I think that the Wesley character sort of gets his, a little bit of his comeuppance. We don't see him suffering really through the rest of this, although what happens here sort of makes sense with why he would be disillusioned with Starfleet, I suppose.
Yeah, although I mean, that's, I mean, the problem then is that, yeah, that's, it's your fault, Wesley.
Right.
You don't like what happened. I mean, you were involved.
Yeah, it's tough on you.
I think that the ending that it stands now is definitely more Star Trek. I mean, it's about messages and ideas, and I think the message of don't be careful of these kinds of cults of personality and these cliques that can pressure you into doing things that you ultimately know is not right.
Yeah.
I think that that's very Trek.
Yeah, I wonder what the punishment for them doing the maneuver would have been. You know, like
if they had done it, it was banned. They did it. They were found out, but nobody died.
Right. I mean, it's
probably
it's
lose sort of, their flight license.
Well, I mean, if like what they're going to get is they're basically going to get a reprimand, right? That's like their positive outcome. So I guess doing the maneuver would have been harsher than a reprimand. You know what I mean? Like, was lying about this all worth it in the long run? The episode doesn't really say that. I'd have a hard time like, if they had just fessed up to what they did immediately.
If they had, oh my gosh, we did this and he died.
Like, what would Starfleet say, be like, I can't believe you went and did this maneuver. Like, you are all out of Starfleet. It doesn't feel like that's an appropriate punishment for what happened.
I don't know. I think ultimately, I mean, I think in the end, probably lying didn't gain or probably lose them anything. I think that if they had done the maneuver, Locarno, and they were found out and they fessed up immediately, Locarno probably would have said, hey, it was all me. I used my influence. Did this, he would have been expelled. The other guys would have lost their license, got a reprimand, and probably held back a year.
Yeah.
I'd say that ultimately lying didn't change. Maybe it didn't change that much.
No, I think
that they got find out. If they were lied and were successful, they would have gotten off better because they would have stayed in Starfleet.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Or at least.
And people get reprimands all the time. heck, Riker has a reprimand on his record. For not letting his captain beam down on a planet, and Picard saw that as basically put it on his resume.
I guess it's beauty is in the eye of the beholder, I suppose. Interesting.
Though speaking of getting away with it, all right. So I think Star Trek seems to suggest that when you see something on the view screen, it's not like a camera that's pointed on the front of the ship. When you see something on the view screen, it's your sensors detecting something, getting information about it, and basically that image is rendered in the viewer.
Yep.
So when that satellite sees a picture of them, that's basic. I guess we could basically assume that is a data. It's data that it took of these five ships, and it reconstructed it in that picture.
Yep.
But doesn't that? I mean, your eyes can deceive you, but can sensors deceive you? If they have that image, isn't that conclusive proof that they're lying? And isn't that only one possible formation that they could possibly be doing? So doesn't they, don't they have all the proof they could possibly need in order to say, hey, we know what you guys did, you're out?
You know, it seems like a very poorly run prosecution.
Oh, well, we don't have any evidence. You have all the evidence you need.
And they also just wrap it up by just saying, like, you guys seem pretty guilty, but we can't prove anything, so we'll just give you a reprimand. Yeah, it's I think it was more of a case of incompetent prosecution. And also, what is that actor from who plays the Vulcan? He's
Satelk? I don't know. I would say I think it would have been more effective if the data had been obfuscated in some way. Like, oh yes, this is what the image looks like it's showing. We can enhance it, and this is what we think it shows, but doesn't like obviously clearly see their damn faces in the cockpit.
Right.
I feel like the data is too clear. They should have made it kind of garbled and weird looking.
Yeah, more
as far
oblique.
As Satelki's played by Richard Fancy, I don't recognize him from anything. He was on Seinfeld.
Oh, that's right. It's Mr. Lippman. Okay, yep. That makes sense. All right, there we go. Answer question answered. Interesting. Okay, well, I think we've talked about first duty. A good
except
point.
For that so awful helmet that Wesley's wearing.
Yes, with leather gloves too.
With leather gloves and giant holes in the top of the helmet where shrapnel can enter and destroy the skull at optimum angles. It's really clear in HD.
No one ever crashes in Star Trek, except for this one time. Things went horribly wrong.
But, they have an escape transporter, which I like the idea of.
Yeah, you'd think that would be hardwired into the status of the ship. Why do you have to activate it? You think that the moment that something goes critically wrong, you get beamed out of those ships, but apparently not.
Yeah, I suppose that maybe it's the idea of... It tries, but if the system gets damaged, and as we all know, everything can get damaged in Star Trek, then you have to pull the manual, eject button.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, there's no circuit breakers or anything.
I liked that idea, though.
Anyway, first duty. We are going to... I'm going to play a clip. We'll come back. We're going to give our final thoughts and ratings for first duty.
Mr. Locarno has been expelled.
They should have expelled all of us.
They very nearly did. Mr. Locarno made an impassioned plea for the rest of you. He said that he'd used his influence as squadron leader to convince you to attempt the Colvord maneuver, and then to cover up the truth. He asked to take full responsibility.
He did exactly what he said he would. He protected the team. I feel awful. I've let down everyone. My mother, my friends, you.
You should feel bad. And you will pay for what you've done. Admiral Brand has decided that, in addition to a formal reprimand, your academic credits for the past year will be cancelled and you will not advance with your class.
I understand.
It's not going to be easy. Staying here on campus. Everyone knowing what you did. You have difficult times ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Captain.
You knew what you had to do. I just made sure that you listened to yourself. Goodbye, Cadet.
Goodbye, Captain.
All right, Christian, would you think of this one? Give me your final thoughts and a rating on 1 to 5 for the first duty.
I think it's a good episode. I think this is definitely what Star Trek should be doing more of. It should be brave enough to have conflict between its characters and make its characters human and fallible. It's far more interesting. This is the most interesting Wesley that we've gotten a chance to look at because he's not a goody-two-shoes. He's put in an uncomfortable position, and you get to find out more about the character. I wish they did more of this. It's hampered by some of the problems that TNG always has a problem with, but ultimately it's a good episode, and while not perfect, it's definitely an episode that I think I would rewatch going through. It might not be super exciting, but I didn't find myself necessarily bored. I would give it a 4.
Sure. I think I'd give this one a 3 out of 5. It's I think it's got all the pieces, as I mentioned before. It's not like firing on all cylinders.
Yeah, well, the ingredients for the cake, you just didn't assemble them quite right.
Right, you didn't let the dough rise or whatever. Like nothing here is really connecting or hitting me on a super emotional level. Even though I do think it's clearly the best Wesley episode out of all of them. It's a little bit, and I sort of agree with you. It's like, it's not exciting, but it's not bad enough where I wouldn't rewatch it to the point. So I don't know. It's just kind of that thing. And it's got those two great scenes that I'd really enjoy. I think it's a very satisfying Wesley story sort of end. And, it's interesting in that regard. I just don't think that the moral dilemma of Wesley is interesting to me enough. Like, or the show isn't writing it well enough to the point where I'd care. It just feels like he's under this stress that I'm not really connecting with on an emotional level.
Would you say that it would be more interesting if they made it less clear that the less, I mean, we can look at it as observers and say, well, obviously Wesley should have told the truth, but would it have been more effective if they had made that choice less obvious? Like, maybe Albert was a shitty pilot, and maybe Locarno really does know what he's doing. And like I said, show more of the positives of Locarno, and then only later, when he's desperately trying to hold on to this to his reality, that you see the darker side of him to make Wesley's choice a little more obvious. It's not like, well, you got to tell the truth because obviously Locarno's a slime ball.
Yeah.
It's, well, we don't really know what happened. Maybe make the maneuver less obvious. Maybe it's not a completely different maneuver. Maybe they're doing the maneuver, but some variation of it during it that makes it more dangerous. That, oh, well, you know, we tried something, but that's, it's not as obvious a lie.
Yeah. I mean, I think that what it's lacking would be that, like, Wesley's stake in it doesn't feel big enough. Like, I think it should have gone a little bit darker, like they mm-hmm. were initially thinking. I think that would have helped it a little bit to make it you know, instead of Wesley just admitting this for the honor of it, or them kind mm-hmm. of lightly covering up something that doesn't seem to be that big of a deal. I think it needed to be a bigger deal for it to make sense internally.
I do have one final thought.
Sure.
And that is, why does Nova Squad even exist? Because it's only 5 cadets on an academy of tens of thousands, possibly. Well, I don't know how big it is, but at least thousands.
According
of cadets.
To the Starfleet testing, it's like very rigorous to get into Starfleet. And that first season episode where Wesley does the testing makes it seem absurd to get in.
But you have all these people from all these different races, supposedly.
Yep.
And you only put 5 people on it who are all white humans.
Yeah, well, there's a Bajoran or something, right?
Oh, you're right. But like, yeah. But my question really is, why does something as obviously cliquey as this exist on a place that's supposed to be as inclusive and diverse as Starfleet? I feel like ultimately this is the only way that Nova Squad ends. Like, how could anyone in management, in the Academy cadre, not see that this is going to happen when you let something like this get so kind of powerful? I mean, look at any, like, the fall of any major sports program, like Penn State. Like, obviously, they became so big and no one gave them a dose of reality, and then the scandal happens because they let this cult of personality go unchallenged, basically. How does Starfleet explain, oh yeah, we totally let these guys basically just do whatever they want because they're awesome, and we don't want to be awesome like Nova Squad. And then after this, Red Squad still exists, and Red Squad is arguably worse.
Yeah, I guess the counterpoint would be, that storyline to me always felt like it was just added in to it. It's not like an integral part of
which
the story.
Part?
If they have never mentioned that this squad was like revered on Starfleet Academy, I don't think it changes anything really in the story.
I think it is important to have that, because if there's no kind of reputation or anything like that to uphold, then the reasons for following Locarno are kind of less clear. When Locarno has to be someone that you're willing. It can't just be, oh, we're buddies, or he's my leader in this little group. That has to be...
Right.
And I think that's ultimately what the message that they're trying to say is.
That would tie into that the issue doesn't seem big enough. You know, if there was a reason for what they were doing, and it seemed much bigger than just sort of following him and living up to this reputation, that would actually make sense to me.
Yeah, that's fair.
It feels like what they're doing doesn't match the scope of what's there, and it's only the script just telling you that, though, this is a very important thing. It's, you never see one scene where
a lot of not showing,
right? You never see one scene of a groupie going like, oh, like the squad or whatever. You never see any of that. So
that's fair.
It ultimately just feels tacked on. Anyway, that's it. So you gave it a 4 out of 5. I'm going to give this guy a 3 out of 5, which is interesting, but thank you guys for listening to the content. If you enjoyed it today, and you're on YouTube, like and comments, appreciate it. If you're on iTunes, a rating and review helps get the show out there. But yeah, Christian, thanks very much for coming on.
You're welcome, sir.
You'll be back in a few days with What is it?
The Perfect
it is
Mate.
The Perfect Mate. You'll be back in a couple episodes. So, guys, thanks so very much for listening. I'll see you later.